There's a finish line tape that's been broken, and you've crossed the line into something. I couldn't tell you exactly what it all is, but you have crossed the line into something in walking in here today. Even the people who haven't walked in here today, something's been finished, and you have stepped into a very new beginning. And I don't, it doesn't surprise me that we would get this sense on July 1st, which I guess is a new holiday from what they tell me anyway. But it's just good to be in this place, and I don't mean just in this physical place, but I mean spiritually where God has brought us to. It's good to be here, amen. And so I hope you are grasping all of what God has for you in this season. It's funny, too, that we kind of opened this series talking about how God's, we were sensing God calling for a halftime, and it was like April, you know, so it wasn't like halfway through the year. But I really do feel like God has ushered us into something. It's a whole new level. It's a whole new place. And I'm just want to encourage you to just walk in it. And so as we continue in this series, we've been in this series called Covenant Elevation. I don't have a whole lot of time to go into how we came to that name. All I can tell you was two album covers. Okay, if you're new here, it was two album covers. One said Covenant, and one said Elevation. God said, go with that, and that's how we got to where we are. If you need to catch up, you can go online and listen to some of the messages there. But if you need an outline for today, if you wouldn't mind just raising your hand, our ushers will be happy to assist you with that. And I want to thank also Pastor Cruz for preaching an awesome message on fathers while we were away last week. Thank you so much. That was a really good message. Got to listen to that this week. And today, as we continue with this Covenant Elevation series, we're focusing now on the life of Abraham and how the covenant promises that God gave to Abraham impact us today. Abraham was one of the first mentioned people in the Bible pertaining to covenant, and that's just kind of how God's been walking us through. We started off talking about Noah, because that's actually the first mention of covenant in the Old Testament, and then we worked our way into Abraham. So we talked last week about Abraham. We started a message called People, Places, and Seeds, and we're really just doing part two of that message today. But with Abraham, we see a twofold blessing or a twofold promise that God gave to Abraham, and that is that of land. Everybody say land. And descendants. Everybody say descendants, okay? Land and descendants. And so God gives us descendants. He doesn't just leave us unprovided for. If he's going to give us an abundance of children, he's going to give us a place to, you know, put those children. So, but what we've been talking about for this message, at least, is that land and descendants doesn't really necessarily pertain to children coming from our physical body or natural geographical territory. We've actually been using the word territory for land, because I believe that God is giving us the promise of Abraham is coming upon us to receive land, but it's not just it's land, it's more of territory. It's more giftings and anointings, talents, abilities, various industries and walks of life that God is giving us a mastery over. He's giving us an authority within those particular realms. Some of it may be medical, some of it may be educational. For some, it may even be entertainment, athletics, or whatever the case may be, ministry, food service, whatever that case may be. God's giving us land, okay, note the air quotes there. Now, God's giving us land. He's giving us something to master, but also he's giving us descendants. That means he's not only giving us people to pour into, he's giving us something to pass on to a next generation. Amen. All right, so there's an inheritance. We have callings, we have giftings, and there's an inheritance because we are seeds of Abraham. And what that means, if you read Romans 4 and 11, it refers to the fact that Abraham is the father of our faith. And his act of faith was counted as righteousness unto God. And that was really a foreshadowing of our faith in Jesus Christ being counted as righteousness. And so with that comes the same promises, which is an inheritance. So we're going to draw out some more revelation from this message as we continue to focus on Abraham. And I want to take you now to, I think we started in Genesis 12 last week, but we're going to go over to Genesis 13. We're going to pick up here at the 14th verse. And this is God talking to Abraham, who hasn't had his name changed to Abraham yet. His name is still Abram in this moment. But here's how it reads in verses 14 and the first portion of verse 15. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, look, as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west, I am giving all this land, as far as you can see, to you and your descendants." And let's pause there for a minute. What we're talking about today, as we look deeper into these verses, we want to help everybody, whether you're listening here, you might be listening online, to this message. But we want to encourage you to take full possession of your inheritance. Okay? And I know we've heard this thousands of times, and I'm not talking about some big money grab. Okay? This isn't about chasing prosperity or chasing riches. But just to claim what has your name on it. And here's the first point that I want to talk to you about this morning. And it's simply this: let God show you what is yours. Okay? Let God show you what is yours. God said to Abraham, listen, look as far as your eyes can see. I am showing you this, and as far as your eyes can reach, I'm giving you that. Okay? And I believe that same message is coming to us right now, that the Lord is saying, look as far as your eye can see. As far as your heart, and I don't mean your physical eyes right now. As far as what your spirit's eye can see, I'm giving you that. Yeah. There's a safety measure here too, though, because God is only going to show you so much. So you don't have to worry about, am I off? No, if I'm showing it to you, it's because it's yours. If it's not yours, I won't let you see it at all. At least I won't let you see it with your name on it. You'll see it and realize, that's John's over there. That's Jim's. That's Susan's over there. But God, I see, is that a D? D-O-U-G. Oh, that's mine right there. Give me that. What God shows you with your name on it belongs to you. It will also be something for your descendants to pass along to future generations. So as far as you can see, in whatever gift you have a prophetic gift, then that's your gift. You function in that, possess it, learn all you can, and all that God shows you about that now is yours. Amen. All right. Let's go to some scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, as it is written, I have not seen, and ear has not heard, and nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Your eyes haven't even seen it yet. It hasn't even been conjured up in your mind just yet, all that God has for you. However, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So the eye of the Spirit knows how to show the eye of Doug what belongs to Doug. The eye of the Spirit knows how to show the eye of you, you put your name in that blank, what belongs to you. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, there's a word in there that says prepare. It's a Greek word there that I don't know exactly how to say. So can you read that? Yeah. If you go on Google and just hit the little speaker thing, it'll pronounce that for you. But it's H-E-T-O-I-M-A-Z-O. It means simply to make ready. That means you make something ready. Let me talk to you a little bit about that for just a second. Philippians 3:12. Here's what Paul says. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection. So there's something again here to possess. There's a perfection. There's something that God is working in me that I am supposed to possess. He says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus first possessed me. Here's what he's saying in short. God is making us ready for what he has already made ready for us. There's something with your name on it that's already prepared. It's already ready. All God is doing now is making us ready to possess it. So then, God can show you this much, but there's more with your name on it. However, you might need to exercise some faithfulness first on this level before God shows you more. So then be faithful over the few things that you can see that he has shown you that does belong to you, because there's some more with your name on it. And it's already ready. It's not coming together. It's already done. It's a done deal. It's got your name on it, etched in stone and everything. Gold trimmed and, you know, whatever it's got on it. It's yours. But the trials that you might be going through, the conflicts that you might be going through here and there, they're not to bury you. They're just shaping you a little bit to help you expose a few things that we might need to handle this first before I can expose more of what's ready for you. You may not be able to handle all of this just now. But it's got your name on it. And don't let any trick of the enemy deceive you out of it. Stay faithful in what God has shown you for right now. And don't start looking over on the side and saying, well, why they get to do this? Well, you're not ready for that. Let me make you ready for what I have for you. And all of a sudden, you will begin to enlarge your territory. God will begin to expand your vision, expand your horizon. Remember, we talked about elevation. As God elevates you, all of a sudden you can see further. You remember Mufasa? Talking to Simba? Look, Simba. Everything that the light touches. So everything I'm showing you now is yours. But everything that you see now isn't all that belongs to you. There's more to get ready for. There's more? Y'all remember that from Sim? Okay. I just showed the clip. All right. So God is making us ready for what he already has ready for us. Let's go to Ephesians 2. He says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things or the good works, as it says in some versions, the good works that he has planned for us long ago. He's already had certain works planned out for us. Those certain works, more times than not, will connect to the various giftings that he's given us or the territory that he's given us authority or a rulership or a mastery of that he's giving to us that has our name on it. There's a work to go with that gift. He's already laid it out. He already has it prepared. Let him open your eyes to it, because he wants to show you what he has for you. Deuteronomy 29:29, this is the Amplified version. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed and disclosed belong to us, and not just to us, and to our children forever, so that we may do all of the words of this law. Let me give you one more scripture. Proverbs 3:32. This is the New King James Version. He says, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel, everybody say secret counsel. There's some things that he can show the upright, and it says the secret counsel is with the upright. There are some things that God will show the upright that he won't let everybody see. So there is a subtle undercurrent in this first point here. Let God show you what belongs to you, but I don't know if you see this very subtle undercurrent here of walking in righteousness in order to see it. So everything that the light touches belongs to me. But if I'm walking in darkness, it's going to be hard for me to see what's in the light with my name on it. So you have to realize there's a subtle undercurrent that says, listen, we have a covenant here. Your righteousness is of me, and I've set the terms for all of this. Yet at the same time, I do expect a level of holiness from you. I'm not expecting you to be made holy through your own works. You're only made holy through my blood. However, there's a lifestyle that comes with that. So if you want to fully see all that I have for you, I'm not giving it to you because you walk in righteousness, it's yours. However, the darkness that you might be walking in may be hindering you from seeing what I have for you in the light to walk in. Well, somebody writing that down. Recording it good. But you hear what I'm saying? Because what I don't want us to start doing is getting legalistic. Well, I ain't blessed because I did this yesterday. I don't want you to walk in that mindset. What I am saying is pursue a lifestyle of holiness. It will greatly increase your chances of seeing all the wonderful things that God has for you. What do we need darkness and unrighteousness for anyway? We don't need that. I'm not saying you're going to walk in perfection. That may not happen. At the same time, God is saying, listen, I'm encouraging you to righteousness. And if you're going to deliberately make a lifestyle out of unrighteousness, I'm going to confront you on that, says the Lord. Now, I'm not Doug. Not God's. God's all, he's in my face too much about my own stuff. I don't have time for, getting in everybody else's face. But he wants us to live a life of righteousness. And it's going to highly increase our opportunity to see all the wonderful things that God has for us. Now, let's continue with Genesis 13. We're going to move on to our next point with this verse, 15 and 16. It says, I am giving all this land, as far as your eye can see, to you and to your descendants as a permanent possession. As a permanent possession. Now, I don't know if it says that in all the other versions, but in the New Living Translation, that's what it says. As a permanent possession, and I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Point number two, let God establish what's yours. Okay? Embrace it, enjoy it. That's your sub points there. Embrace it, enjoy it. We're going to talk about all three of those E words there. First, the establish. Let God establish. Let God solidify. Let God make in concrete, etched in stone, that what's yours is yours. Romans 11:29, let's go there. It says, for God's gifts and his calls, Remember, that's what we're talking about in terms of territory and land, in terms of the Abrahamic blessing or promise that God has given to us. There's giftings and callings, and what does it say here? God's gifts and his calls can never be withdrawn. That means it's always yours. No matter how crazy you act, that belongs to you. If I've shown it to you, it belongs to you, and you have a right to pass it on to your descendants. Your life may get a little off and crazy at times, but this will always have your name on it. This will always have what I show you in this season is yours from now until this world ends. It cannot, will not be withdrawn. You couldn't mess this up if you tried to. It will always have your name on it. That's why the prodigal son could get out of a hog pen, go back to the father's house, commit himself to being a servant, and the father said, "Are you insane?" Excuse me. "Are you insane? You are my son. You are my flesh and blood." Thank you. "You are my son. You are my child. You are the fruit of my loins. You're never going to be a servant to me. Right. When I pass on, this house will have your name on it. Period. And you might act as crazy as you want to act." I'm not advising that, by the way. "But this will always be yours." Deuteronomy 29:13. God says, "By entering into the covenant today," or I think this is actually Moses talking, "by entering into the covenant today, he will establish you." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "God will establish you." God will establish you. He will establish you as his people and confirm that he is your God, just as he promised you and as he swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Generations. This belongs to you, and I'm not just ordaining it and establishing it for you. It's for you, your children, and your children's children. It's for y'all. Somebody say y'all. Y'all. It's for all y'all. Somebody say that. So if something's not right or something's not going right and something's off in my life, and I know that I've been keeping my end of the bargain with God, then something's got to give. It's like, wait a minute, this, I know I've been living my life right, Lord. I know I've been doing what I told you or what you've told me to do. And I know you haven't forsaken me in terms of your promises. And it just seemed like what life looks like to me, it's not lining up with what seems like an Abrahamic promise. And so I'm just going to say in the name of Jesus, this thing has got to get right. Two of y'all heard me. But somebody in here need to hear this. Some stuff not going right in your life, and you know you've been doing what God has told you to do. It's like, wait a minute. In the name of Jesus, this has got to align. Yeah, I'm going to say what my wife said, because that's what you're supposed to do as a husband. Turn it around. Turn this thing around, Lord. Can somebody else get as excited as I am about that? No, you ain't got to clap. It's like, listen, turn this thing around, God. Because there's some things, there's some stuff happening in my life. This is not the promise of Abraham right here. This is not a blessing. This is not how blessed people live. This is not how blessed people walk. This is not what blessed people receive. Something's got to change. Something's got to give. And in the name of Jesus, I'm calling right now, Lord, on your name, because I know it's not you. And I know I may not have been perfect, but I know my life is lining up the way I know it can. So something's got to give here, Lord. So if things in your life are not in that blessed place and you know you've been living the blessed way, take some authority over that. Amen. Call on the Lord for that. And say, excuse God, you told me to put you in remembrance of your word, and I'm looking, and things don't look as blessed as what I know you promised me. So do that sometime this week. Amen. Let God establish you. Now let's talk a little bit about embracing. Listen to what God tells Abraham in Genesis 13:17. He says, "Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you. Look north, south, east, west. Look in every possible angle and direction that you can get to look in, and know that it's for you." when the Lord moved us out here, excuse me for a minute. When the Lord moved us out here in 2008-09. It was hard to get our bearings as to what we're responsible for. And we had a meeting with one of our, with all of our, what we called them, board of overseers. And one of them said the phrase, 10-mile radius. And when he said that, a bell rang in my head. It said, he just helped you chart out your place of responsibility. Just focus on this 10-mile radius. And so I didn't just focus on it. I got in my car. I said, where's 10 miles from here? South. It was somewhere around, I didn't literally measure it, but I just gazed at it. It's like, it looks like about New Road. Anybody familiar with that? New road down south here. I was like, okay, I'll go head that way. It looks like it went as far west as Route 31. Now it's a little further than Route 31, so we claim in Buchanan right there. It's a little bit further. we claiming that, and then it went as far north as I think it was Route 60 or something like that, and then it went as far east as Cassopolis or 19 or whatever the case may be. And I was really low on gas that day too. This is like Holy Ghost moment. Like, God, if you get me through this, Lord, then I know. But sure enough, I just felt God say, drive it. Go ahead and just mark out the territory. So that's what God's given us. That's as far as we can see. Well, why don't you take it to the whole world? Well, we're going to take it to the whole world. But understand that this is where God is showing us. This is the area where God is showing us. I'm not saying we have no heart for what's outside of that. But as far as responsibility is concerned, you can get a lot more done with focused effort than shotgun blasts. And so God did us a very good service to say, hey, focus on this 10-mile radius for now. Focus on that. Embrace it. Embrace it. It looks a whole lot different than where you came from. If you don't know us, we're from the south side of Chicago. We're from a very, very, very big city, Chicago. We came to Michiana, the Michiana region, South Bend, and it's different. It moves differently. In fact, I had this experience just this past week. My wife and I were coming home. We were leaving the church. We were going home. And it was around 5 o'clock-ish, 5:30-ish. And, of course, it gets a little busy around that time, especially right over here in this Main Street area, Grape and all of that. You go around 23, and it's like, God, please let me catch this light once I make this turn, because I hate red lights. And so Chicago's a bad place to be from if you hate red lights. But I cannot stand red lights. And sure enough, a red light caught me. And I was like, in my heart, I was like, oh, not another red light. And then I looked in front of me, and I said, it is 3 cars at this red light with me. 3 cars. Lord, thank you for moving me to South Bend. Because this would not be the case in Chicago at 5 o'clock coming home from work. I totally switched out of complain mode. I just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this red light, this one red light, and just these 3 cars hanging out with me. This is busy in South Bend. I'll take it, Lord. I'll take it. I embrace that in Jesus' name. Yeah, and then enjoy. Okay, I'm way too long on this point, one point here. But enjoy it as well. First Timothy, and we've heard this scripture before, chapter 6, verse 17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. Amen. God, what God has given you, it may be some work to it, but even the work can be enjoyable. So embrace it, enjoy it, because God is wanting to establish it. Now let's jump all the way to chapter 14 in Genesis. And we're going to go down to verse 18. Now, in the midst of all of that, you'll see an episode in Abraham's life where his nephew Lot has clashed with him. His left nephew Lot has moved away from, you know, as some of you know the story, but when Abraham left his father's home, his nephew Lot came with him and all of his servants and so forth. But the land got very crowded. And so Abraham said, Lot, whatever you want, whatever one of these lands you want, you can take that. And Lot said, I'll take this land over here by Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we know the story about Sodom and Gomorrah. But there was a war that broke out there. And when word got back to Abraham, he was like, hey, my nephew's there. We need to go fight and help them out. And when all of that happened, they defeated the enemies that were coming against Sodom. And here's what, let me just go ahead and read it here. And there was a great spoil that Abraham and the king of Sodom ended up taking from those who had attacked them. Of course, he rescued his nephew as well. But then in verse 18, in chapter 14, I just wanted to give you some of the backdrop of that. But it says here, Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek probably is a character in the Bible that deserves his own, not series, but curriculum. You know, just to talk through all of that and what that means for us, what that means for Jesus. If you read the book of Hebrews, it talks about Jesus being a priest of God after the order of Melchizedek. I don't have a whole lot of time to get into that. Just want to drop that note in there for you. But Melchizedek here is somewhat of a foreshadowing or a representation of God himself here. He's a representation of God, the King of Salem, translated King of Peace, and of course Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the King of Salem, and a priest of God Most High. He brought Abram, some bread and wine. And so you see there again a foreshadowing of bread and wine, of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. You see a bit of a foreshadowing there. Okay, so Melchizedek blessed Abraham with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God, who Most High, who defeated your enemies for you, And then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods that he had recovered. And so here's point number three. Let God bless or celebrate what is yours. I am a firm believer that God is way more excited about what he has for us than we are. God is way more excited to give you what's got your name on it than you are about getting it. Not that you're not excited. Not that you're not happy. You know, I can see it on your faces. Yeah. But God is way more excited than we are about receiving what he has for us. And so let me take you to the scripture. I just kind of alluded to this in Luke 15. You know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son went off, wasted his father's goods, came back and demanded, not demanded, but just asked, let me just be a servant. I've messed up. And, you know, God or dad, I don't know. I've made a mess of things. Listen to what happened, what the father says here. His father said to the servants, first of all, he didn't even address what the son was saying. Right. It's like in his mind, it's like, I ain't even paying no attention to that. Talking about being a servant. This is my son. I know he kidding. This is my son. You know how much love I have for this young man? Please. He says to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house. Put it on him. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, and kill the fatted calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine who was dead is now returned to life. He was lost, but he is now found. So let the party begin. Let the party begin. Amen. Let the party begin. If you remember Matthew 25, where it talks about the parable of the talents, he says, you've been faithful over a few things. Behold, I'm going to make you ruler over much. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says, let's celebrate together. Because there's a huge reward for you. There's a huge blessing for you. Let's celebrate together. Amen. So God is a little bit more excited than we might be. But let me just finish this off with this. And I'm going to give you your, I don't know why I've just been coming up with these little bonus points here. But let me just give you this bonus point as we jump over to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, this is verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward for your obedience shall be very great. Here's your bonus point to close this out. Be content with what's yours. Philippians 4, 11 and 12 says this. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Do you know the verse that comes after that? Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ because it's Christ that gives me the strength, whether I have little or whether I have much. It doesn't matter. Christ is my reward. He is my strength. He is the grace that is sufficient for me. He is the power that keeps me going. His spirit is what lives in me to keep guiding me and to keep me pressing ahead. So I can do all things through him. I can be content with the things that he's given me, with what he shows me. I don't need to see what I got and then look at what somebody else has and get off beside myself. God, what you have for me, that's for me. Help me to be faithful over this because there's a reward for much, much more when you decide to elevate me. All right, now let's really close right here. We're going to really close. Let me see. I want to go to James. And as we read this, as we're closing, I want to invite our worship team, because I really want to close this a little bit differently today. I want to invite our worship team to come. But when we talk about being content with the things that we have, you know, it's very easy to see what someone else has and feel insufficient or feel inadequate. You know, feels like somehow we've been shorted. But I really feel the encouragement of God saying, listen, I've given you plenty. If you can just let me show you the good of what you have. See, when we moved out here, we our minds were so full of Chicago that we couldn't see all of what God had for us here. And the longer we let God show us what God had for us here, the more we could appreciate being here instead of, you know, the rat race that we, I'm not, you know, not trying to diss Chicago. It's still my, it's where I'm from. But it's like, God, thank you, because the school system that our kids are in is so much better than where we were. And again, not trying to knock where we came from. But to see our children and our family thrive the way they have thrived, and to see God pulling families from so many different places to this central location. I don't know how God pulls us from so many places like Plymouth and Niles and Granger and Osceola and Edwardsburg or whatever. It's like somehow God's drawn us all to this place. Yeah. And to see the diversity and the love that God has, that we've witnessed here in a place that before we came here, we heard about so much racial prejudice. Yeah, we heard about so much racial prejudice that was in the South Bend region. And when I look at it, I'm like, where exactly are you talking about? When I look here, I see people with genuine love in their hearts for each other, and they are of various shades, of various backgrounds, and of various giftings and callings and so forth, and just love each other with the love of the Lord. And I mean real love, not pretend, hey, brother, this and that. It's real. We get in each other's business. No, not business, but you know what I mean. We support each other's lives. We don't. It's not all surface stuff. You know, we know how to pray for each other when we're really in a bad place. And our hearts are very content with that. So let me just read the scripture, and this is a good caution for us too. It says, "What is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you?" Where are these wars happening again? Within me. That means that when I'm wrestling with a person at work or at home or probably in church, I don't know, wherever. If I got a conflict with somebody, it's not just that person. In fact, God may very well be using that person to expose something that's going on in me. Even though I'm 100% convinced, I know it's them. I know they being stuck up and snooty. I know this boss just abusing their power. I know this husband just full of ego. Whatever the case may be, notice I didn't say nothing about the wife. Because there's nothing to be said. Amen. That being said, something may be going on inside of us. He says in verse 2, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. Now, we may not kill, we may not, you know, we may not stab each other But we can backstab. Because Jesus is sure enough said that we may not commit murder, but sometimes the words of our mouth can be just as murderous to someone else's moral character. He says, you are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and you wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you just don't ask God for it. And even when you ask God for it, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Only what will give you pleasure instead of what will fulfill your purpose that God has for you. And what is your purpose? Your purpose really is to receive an inheritance. Enjoy and embrace that inheritance. Let it be established so that it can be passed on to someone else. So don't be jealous of what someone else has. God is calling you to possess something for your own life to not even hold on to. God's goal and desire for us is to take what he's given us and actually pass it on to our descendants. Descendants. People are not the problem. People are actually the diagnostic tool being used to expose what's off on the inside of us. Amen. Amen to that. So we're going to sing a little bit. Because I really feel like celebrating. I don't want to end this heavy. I want you to know that God is excited about what he's giving you. And I know you're warm in here. Please forgive us. I want to explain that in just a second. But can you just do me a favor right now? If you could just stand to your feet for a second. Because we're getting ready to really close this time. We're getting ready to really close this time. And I'm going to ask our worship team if they could just help us celebrate. Can y'all, I know you've been sitting there for a long time. Just stretch out a little bit and just, you know, just get your clapping hands ready. Anybody need to warm their voice up a little bit? Me. Yes. La, 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 la. Somebody, yes. Amen. All right. Stretch your hips out. Get your neck. All right. Are we ready? I'm just biding time so y'all can get ready. Go ahead and do what you do. Amen. Let's go.
Good, yeah.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good, yeah.
God good. Amen.
Yeah. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're so good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Woke me up this morning. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Started me on my way. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You.
It's very warm outside. We know there's a heat, you know, excessive heat advisory outside, so it's warm. It's usually cooler than this in here. And we were not trying to, you know, have old school church this morning. You know, if we were trying to have old school church, I'd still be preaching. But it just so happens that on the hottest day that we've experienced in 2018, a few of our air conditioning units kind of fried out. So we had one that was actually keeping the sanctuary cool, and apparently we sucked up all the cool from that one unit. So it's a little warmer here today. And I'm just going to put this before you. Because I don't like overlooking the obvious. And when I see everybody doing this, you know, but we're talking with our trustees and working some things out with all of our repairs. Obviously, that's going to cost money. Okay, now I didn't come here to start some big campaign, but I just want to let you know that we are in need, and many people have been telling me, hey. Pastor Doug, you never tell us when the church is in need. We wish you would do that. So I want to go ahead and do that. I don't have an exact total in my head. I know a roundabout figure, and I know it's not what we presently have right now. So in this coming month of July, if there's anything extra you're able to give towards that, we would greatly appreciate it. We'll take some time to lay out some of the needs that we have as a church and some of the plans that we have to meet those needs. But whatever financial need we may have, we're always going to need your help, okay? Here's what I'm going to first suggest to you. Just tithe. No, I'm serious. If you're not tithing, I want to encourage you to do that. And when you're tithing, it's not about this church, and it's certainly not about what we receive from this church. It's all about what God has to give to you, okay? That's what tithing's all about. God wants to bless you. And when we tithe, like we said before, it's our worship unto the Lord. It's not just about meeting the needs of the church. That's a good side benefit, but it's really all about us worshiping God. So I want to encourage you in that regard. Just be a tither. If you're presently tithing or presently giving right now, I want to just encourage you, if you're able to, just be able to give over and above that amount until we can get this situation straightened out. But we're going to do what we need to do administratively on our end to make sure that this need is met, because I don't want anybody associating all of this with CLC. It's like, no, that's not what we represent here, okay? The letters for cool is actually almost in our name. CL, we just need a couple of O's in there. It's like, no, we're not trying to be hot. Okay, but yeah, however you see fit to be able to help with that, we'll lay it out a little bit more. We'll lay it out a little bit more clearly, the things that we have. But I just want to drop that into you, because I couldn't. There was the elephant in the room. His name was Heat. Okay, so I just want to bring that to you. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come, and so just so that's in your ear. But I want to invite our prayer team to come, and if you're in need of prayer. If you're in need of whatever it is that may be keeping you from a faithfulness place in where you presently are with God, I'm not talking about your job. I'm talking about where you are with God. Like, God, this is hurting. I'm having a hard time. I know you called me to this, but I'm having a hard time staying in it. If you're having that struggle, we want to pray some courage to you, some encouragement into your heart. Amen. And if there's some things that you know are on the horizon, and maybe your faith is dwindling a little bit, that it's even there, we want to speak some faith into your heart as well. Amen. So let's just lift our hands. We're going to go ahead and pray. And I want to just also say, if you're in need of salvation this morning, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite you to come and let one of our prayer team members lead you in a prayer to lead you into a relationship with God so that he can give you the blessings that are permanently yours. Amen. So as our hands are lifted this morning, Father, see, I feel it cooling off already. Father, I just want to thank you so much, not just for a good time in you, not just for a good time, but Lord, the fulfillment of purpose in our lives. It goes far beyond just this church service. We're thankful for the word that we got to hear, the worship that we got to experience. But now, Lord, there are places that we have to master. There are places and anointings, Lord, that you're going to pour into us. And those things are they're going to be people and descendants, as we've called them today. They're going to be people whose lives we must pour into. You didn't give us what you gave us to hold on to it. You gave it to us to pour out, not just to this generation, but into generations to come. And so, Father, we just want to do all of that for your glory. Let our lives be fruitful, Lord, and let all of that fruit be a blessing to you, and let it advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are in need of prayer, we invite you to come. Hug a few people before you go. We're also having our family fun event over in the next room. So if you can stay around for that, we'd love to have you. God bless you. We'll see you next time.